Hey, hey, Sanford here, and welcome to Sanford's Unlock to Unleash EP, where we unlock the stuff we are either afraid of, ashamed, or embarrassed to talk about. My mission, of course, is to be on purpose and to go at 100 with who I am, and because I work with our youth as a life coach, mentor, and a speaker, I must lead by example as I do. In other words, I must stay real, raw, and honest. And of course, our youth won't be totally aware or make that change confidently until our teachers, our other coaches in life, our leaders, counselors, psychologists, and of course, our parents get real, raw, and honest too. I feel it's time, it's really time for us to get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's time to reveal our flaws, our vulnerabilities. Let's lead with love, honor, and courage. And the truth will always find the light. I certainly hope everyone is doing outstanding today, because I certainly am. Have a great new topic for us to talk about today. Of course, this is episode 10 of Sanford's Unlock to Unleash EP. And today I want to talk to you guys about our youth brokenness, and creative healing and therapies. Our youth are suffering from what I like to call EMPSB, addictive behavior. So EMPSB is emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual brokenness. There are four main addictive behaviors that come out of this. And In that particular vein, me as a life coach, mentor, and speaker, it's important that I'm able to articulate these things, which I will do today. And I really want you guys to listen in very close, because I know it's all about us as parents, about us as coaches, about us as leaders, really trying to find a formula, if you will, where we can work together to really approach our youth with something that they're going to respond to. You know, they don't want to be preached to. I understand. Who wants to be preached to? None of us want to be preached to, unless we are at a different conscious level, understanding that being preached to is not being told what to do, but giving us insight so we can have more than one perspective, and then we can make our creative and critical final decisions from there. So anyway, let's get into these four addictive behaviors. One is fear. And in fear, what tends to happen is we say things, and our youth say things like, oh, it's not perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. What if I fail? What if I am successful? What do I do then? And of course, I want to talk about how fear also affects the body. So fear also weakens the kidneys. Okay? And of course, we know that all of our blood and all our fluids flow through that kidney to strengthen us and to send food through our body and to flush us out, okay? And if it's not functioning well, we're going to have a backup. The second brokenness today is called anxiety. Anxiety, which is really a deep worry, okay? And so we say things to ourselves like, last time I got hurt, I can't breathe. This is just too much. It's never going to work. And anxiety weakens our stomach function. And of course, as we know, everything goes through our stomach. Again, we got some very sensitive organs in there. If it's not functioning well, we're not functioning well. The third one is shame. Now, this is a big one. It's a lot bigger than most people think. And, you know, they even have individual studies on just this one by itself. And of course, what shame does is trigger anger. And then we start to believe and follow this philosophy. And we say things like, there's something wrong with me. I'm just a big mistake. I'm simply no good. And just to move further on shame, it's often used as a defensive response. Now, the three primal responses are lashing out at others in anger, which you may have heard of, called flight, the flight response. Number two, lashing out at ourselves, such as overeating, not eating, self-harming, overtraining our bodies, having every excuse in the world not to train our bodies. This, of course, is called the flight response. And the third one is called avoid conflict. How many of you guys out there avoid conflict at all cost? How many of you actually go and create conflict, okay? Which is just as unhealthy. But this, of course, is called avoidance and or a freeze response. So we got the fight, flight, and freeze response coming out of that shame, okay? And so we like to defend that so we don't get our feelings hurt or think that we're inadequate. So we create those three areas. Anger, of course, weakens the liver, okay? And the fourth addictive behavior is insecurity. How many of you guys have run across young adults, young people who go, well, I'm just not that confident, or I'm just insecure, okay? I even run across parents who say, oh, you know, can you help my daughter? And you know, can you help my son because they're so insecure? Now, part of me says if you keep saying that, of course you're going to start to believe. It's like someone constantly telling you that you're ugly, you know? You may not start off thinking that you were ugly, but if someone keeps calling you that, you're going to start having those doubts in your head. Well, maybe I'm not that good. And of course, you're going to start attracting that energy and start pushing things that were coming to you away from you because you believe you're ugly. Now, I think it's the same thing for this insecurity thing, even though I think it is a real situation within our bodies. Okay, because like I said, we start to believe it, whether someone else told us or whether we told ourselves or whether there was a situation that occurred. Okay, so insecurity can be a result of many different psychological symptoms of stress. Okay, challenges for an insecure person are they may want to improve themselves, but they perceive any criticism as if it is an attack on their character and that they're not good enough. Other challenges that can be very stressful for an insecure person is they can't enjoy silence. They tell excessive jokes. They actually go over the top with the jokes. They bully, okay? Because if they're bullying someone, they can draw the focus off themselves and onto someone else, okay? They're usually overly authoritative, okay? Overly competitive, and they may cope with insecurity by spending lots of money on things and stuff that they don't really need or they don't really want. Insecurity can be very stressful since this is a constant thing. And of course, that stress weakens the heart and the brain. These EMPSBs, addictive behaviors, keep our youth from expressing how their own personal traumas have affected them. Okay, so if they're in this state, then they are ignoring their feelings, their traumas, how they really feel, okay? And of course, they express that in either fear, shame, anxiety, and of course, insecurities, okay? So, Dr. Gober Mate says, trauma is not what happens to you, but what happens inside of you. Now, I think this is very important to recognize, so I'm going to just say it one more time with a little bit of a twist. Trauma is not what happens to our youth, but what happens inside of them. Not all youth experience deep, death-defying trauma, yet as unique as we all are, we all have our own trauma voice, our numbingness that disconnects us from having open conversations, from listening unguarded, speaking without rage, and of course, speaking without having those daggers at the ready or thinking that someone's attacking us. And of course, we approach things with a vicious intent, okay? And of course, if we're in that state of coming from that thing that Dr. Mate says, then inside of us, we're really feeling that fear and that anxiety and that shame and that insecurity. And so we're going to put up our guard. We're going to be vicious in our intent. Someone's going to get us, and we're going to get them before they get me. Okay? When our youth numb their feelings and emotion, it keeps their ego on guard, makes them react, and it keeps them lying not only to others, but to themselves. As I spoke on earlier about the EMPSB brings out our youth bullying, and it even allows themselves to be bullied, which is a very interesting concept because they may think that they deserve to be bullied. Other things that come out of our youth that they may do to themselves or others is self-harm, comparing themselves, be filled with entitlement, lack of the understanding of what real love feels like, not being clear about their needs, and are unable to cope with being misunderstood. You've seen that. People talk to us or they try to explain something to us and they get so flustered that we don't understand them, and they simply get angry or they get frustrated or they shut down or they walk away. Okay? This is an addictive behavior. This is a fight, flight, or freeze response. All right? And it's really, really learned, and it's really unconscious most of the time. There are three, what I like to call gremlins, that look so cuddly and inviting in the beginning that really fan the flames that burn this EMPSB in our youth and in the world. And these gremlins are our media, our current state of our school system, and of course our government, who loves to send out lots of propaganda and of course creates lots of oppression. You know, we see it in the world. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's not just the rich getting richer, it's the poor getting poorer. Why is that? There's a separation that is so huge that we know it shouldn't exist. When we look at TV and we see them talking about poor people in other countries, do we ever think about the people in our own country? When we see on TV the violence in other countries, what comes? Do we immediately feel sorry, or do we think about, wow, what's going on in my life? What's going on in my country? And what's going on around the world? How come this is affecting the world? It's not just affecting one or two families. This is happening worldwide. Why is that? Our youth deserve heroes and sheroes, people who can sense their pain, who will nurture their wounds, who will give them space to play and express themselves, and who don't pretend that emotions are unreal and unreasonable. Our heroes and sheroes who are not afraid to be flawed, who are transparent and vulnerable, and the biggest thing of all is they're not afraid to tell our youth the truth. Research by the World Health Organization states that the number one mental illness by 2030 will be depression. 2030. Now, let's keep in mind, this is 2019, so that's less than 11 years away. Okay? Depression is the main driver behind suicide, which claims more than 1 million lives worldwide a year. 1 in 4 people. Now, get this, 1 in 4 people suffer from depression. Depression destroys our youth's desire to love, to work, to play, their creativity, their will to live, and it strangles our youth's heart, mind, and soul. Many of our youth who commit suicide or even become addicted to drugs, alcohol, sex, self-harm, they don't really want to become addicted, or they don't really want to kill themselves. They simply want to stop the pain and the internal destruction of their feelings. Now, I just got a couple of statistics here for you, so you guys can write these down. Over 65,000 Australians attempt suicide in the year 2016. More than 3,000 have succeeded. In the U.S., 44,965 people committed suicide. And that's an increase of 24% from 2014. Now, 15 to 24 years of age are the highest, is the highest amount of suicide in the last 10 years. So that's the highest it's been in the last 10 years here in Australia. In the US, suicide doubled for girls between the ages of 15 and 19 and went up 30% for boys between the ages of 15 and 19. A third of all suicides are young men. That's in Australia and America. Twice as many young women, 15 to 19, have died due to suicide. That's in America and Australia. Suicide rates have increased for youth under the age of 14 in Australia and America. Under the age of 14. Now, just in case you didn't hear me, I said under the age of 14. One quarter of women, 16 to 17, have self-harmed. Okay? Now, in America, that rate is 14 to 17. Okay? Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders are the highest risk due to colonization, brutal mental and physical abuse. And of course, that's also here, that's in Australia, as well as the colonization in America, and the abuse, the mental abuse, the physical abuse, the emotional abuse, okay, all goes toward this high increase of suicide. And then lastly, the LGBT community are at risk due to abuse and lack of understanding in their own communities. And yes, that's here in Australia and America. Depression, according to Stephen Eidery, author of the book The Depression Cure, states that depression is not a natural disease. Depression is a civilization disease. Now that's interesting. Caused by high stress, industrialized modern lifestyle that's not comparable to the human DNA. Now that's very interesting. So he's stating here that depression is a civilization disease caused by high stress, industrialized and modern lifestyle that is not comparable to the human DNA. It doesn't fit in. It doesn't work in our DNA. Living under continuous stressful situations and conditions, as so many do, breaks down our neurochemicals in our body, like dopamine and serotonin, which can lead to sleep disruption, brain damage, immune deficiencies, inflammation of the body's organs and blood vessels. We are in a crisis. And just so we're clear, I just want to make this little distinction here. And crisis in Chinese, in the Chinese culture, uses two symbols. And the two symbols, which mean danger and opportunity. That's what crisis means in the Chinese symbols. We are certainly in danger, yet we have an opportunity to shift, to learn, to heal, if we would just look and listen to our youth, as well as begin to heal our own EMPSB as a family, a tribe, and as a community. James Baldwin says, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed unless it's faced." And Eckhart Tolle said, "Many people can embody this healing at work or in their careers, but not in their homes." So we're great when we're out in public, we're great when we're on the job, we're great when we're working in our business, but we're so addicted to that process that when we get home, when we get with the people that we love, we're all drained. We don't want to give them the same, or we're unable to give them the same, because we've given everything out there. And so we're locked down. We're addicted to this being locked down. We're addicted to our work. We're addicted to trying to impress people. We're addicted to trying to get love from outside in the world, and of course, outside of ourselves. Our youth brains start to develop before birth. It's not just a genetic thing, but an environmental process that shapes our youth's development. So it's not just a handed down from generation to generation, even though we know it is within the DNA. Okay, within the DNA, we know it is, but it's also the environment in which people were raised in, and it's the environment that our youth are raised in. My goal as an EMPC coach, mentor, and speaker is to give our youth an environment that is not only nurturing, but challenging, reflective, calming, playful, and creative. To open the environment, since I cannot do anything about their genetics, I want to look at what I can physically change. And of course, that is their environment. I want to be able to tap into and help them to understand their original fears, their original anxiety, their original shame, and their original insecurities. And if I can do that in this open environment, then that's what I'm going to do. I coach, mentor, and speak to our youth openly. I don't pretend. I don't lie. I listen. I hold a space where they can be. And my hope is that they can feel free. The MPC process does not focus on the addiction. Let's look how Dr. Gabor Mate defines addiction, okay? Because addiction is huge. Addiction is why we are the way we are. You know, part of the reason we keep doing the same thing is because we're stuck in the habit. That's where the problem is. So he defines addiction as a manifestation in any behavior that a person craves, finds temporary relief or pleasure in, but experiences negative consequences in the long term and doesn't give up. Again, is a manifestation. Okay, this is addiction I'm talking about. Is a manifestation in any behavior that a person craves, finds temporary pleasure or relief in, but experiences negative consequences in the long term and doesn't give it up. The EMPC process focuses on digging into the addiction, okay? And giving youth that opportunity to really open up through play, through creativity, and that sort of thing. The addiction is there to try to solve these four behaviors. So that's why the addiction is there. We think that children, youth act, whereas what they mostly do is react. The EMPC process helps them to realize their own responses rather than going into the old addictive behaviors. I want to leave you with three ways to begin conscious awareness and practice. You and your youth can start today. Remember, these are only starting places. These are creative play and fun ways to express different thoughts, memories, and feelings without being constrained by words. So one is to write a story or a letter, and for each other. So you write this story or letter for each other. This can lead to talking about the pains that you're feeling within your body. Number two is to listen to music and sing together. You can also sing in a group or a choir. Music brings up true emotions that can be investigated later. And number three, go play in a show. Okay? Create a show. Okay? Rock climb. Walk. Climb on curbs. Remember to play. Open. It opens your heart. Okay? And when you open your heart, you're open to love. Every individual young person heals in their own way. This way, a series of approaches are important. This is why a series of approaches are important. The combination of EMPC coaching, creative therapies, and home environment changes will help unleash emotional competency that is required for our youth to feel their own emotions so that they are aware when they are experiencing stress. So I just want you guys to really think about what I spoke on today, because our youth are really in a broken stage today because of all the media, all the broken down system at school, as well as the government propaganda, as we know exists. Okay, we can't deny that it doesn't exist. So really look at that today, and of course leave your comments. Make sure you let me know how you feel, if you really enjoyed this topic, and let me know other topics that you want to hear of. So I want to thank you all for popping in today and listening to my podcast. Remember, you're always going to be challenged. You're always going to have some pain in some situations. But allow yourself to remember, nothing very, very good or very, very bad lasts a very, very long time. So tell the truth, or at least don't lie. You can do this. Face it. Ask for help and move forward. I'm sending you love and giving you all green lights. And as always, always remember to love your mission. Peace. Talk to you next time.